You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com on WCRS FM 98.3 and 102.1, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
This is Men Speak about issues dealing directly with black males. Heard exclusively on the world's greatest radio, TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio the way it should be heard. I'm Kamario Dye.
And I'm Richard Lundy.
And welcome to Men Speak on this Tuesday evening. A beautiful Tuesday evening at that, wouldn't you agree, Brother Lundy?
Hey, brother, it's a gorgeous day out there today. You better suck it up, because tomorrow is supposed to be back as usual.
Yeah. This roller coaster ride weather we've been having. We thank so much for being a part of our show. This is Men Speak, where we deal with issues dealing specifically with black males. And our intro, our topic, our poem, our word of wisdom we want to start on our show with is called Self-Esteem. All of us can relate to this. But check this out. A sense of self-worth is critical to our happiness and success in life. Self-esteem is part of the nuts and bolts that make us strong black men. How we are perceived by others mirrors how we feel about ourselves. Muhammad Ali, former heavyweight boxing champion, counsels, to be a great champion, you must believe you are the best. And if you're not, pretend you are. A positive self-image is also a starting point for building and maintaining strong relationships with others. When we love and respect ourselves, we are able to share these same feelings with others and establish more meaningful relationships. So how do we build self-esteem? Only through deliberate and serious introspection, we are able to develop a positive self-concept. Self-esteem is raised when we acknowledge and take pride in our achievements, make accurate and honest assessments of our weaknesses, and learn to recognize and appreciate our own attributes and talents. Black men should be especially conscious that negative thoughts and images undermine self-esteem more than any other factors. Our thoughts have the power to make us or break us. Now, how we feel about ourselves is more important than how others portray us. What really matters is our own interpretation of who we are. Self-confidence and assurance are states of mind that we can all project. I'd like to end this with the author's last final words. The most important thing I have to fight as a black man in an oppressive racist society is what I think about myself.
Whoa.
Self-esteem.
Everybody's searching for a hero.
Right on, brother.
People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my need. A lonely place to be. So I learned to depend on me. I decided long ago.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Right on.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Kahari. And here is the news on this Tuesday, March 18th, 2014. Are robots replacing unusable human workers? Technology is expanding at a more rapid pace than most people have anticipated, and with it has come a significant loss of jobs ranging from stuffing mail to the operation of farm equipment. Many workers have been rendered unusable by the changing economy, and the benefits of the new technology has gone almost exclusively to the rich and the super rich. Now, some would argue that more robots and more sophisticated computers make it easier and more comfortable for humanity. For others, the future seems to look like the eternal expansion of more Walmarts, whereby making it easier and cheaper for companies to produce and sell items, while the rest of us become poorer and poorer. Come on, folks. We really need to start asking some hard questions of our elected officials and big businesses, like who will protect the workers and how would this impact black folks? Now, if workers are losing jobs as a result of changes in technology, shouldn't greater demands be placed on the corporate giants that they provide for those who are displaced? Poor people and people of color have to pay attention because robots were designed to take away jobs. Vote rights for ex-felons. Attorney General Eric Holder was quoted at a press conference as having said, "If America is ever to end the high recidivism, it needs to ease the reentry of former offenders back into society by allowing them to vote." He called on state officials, state leaders, and other elected officials to reform or repeal laws that block ex-felons from voting. He even went on to say that these laws, dating back to the Reconstruction era, were specifically crafted to target blacks, thus weakening their voting power. Now, according to one study, one of every 13 African Americans can't vote due to felony disenfranchisement. And in states like Florida and Kentucky, where more than 20% of the black population is barred from voting, both states have the highest population of disenfranchisement residents. Almost one in four blacks are disenfranchised.
Wow.
Now, in Mississippi, almost 14% of the black population can't vote because of a prior felony conviction. Now, Congress can answer the Attorney General's call to action and lead by example by reintroducing the Democracy Restoration Act that would restore the voting rights in federal elections to those disenfranchised because of criminal convictions. Folks, America is the world's greatest democracy, yet felon disenfranchisement laws deny almost 6 million Americans the right to vote. Now, let's see. There's about 6 million ex-felons who can't vote, another 2 to 3 million incarcerated who can't vote, another couple of million who are underage and can't vote. Wow, that doesn't sound like a democracy to me. Now, given our numbers, we are a mere 13% of the U.S. population. Now, you tell me, is voting really the answer for us black folks? You do the math. And finally, proposed tobacco settlement excludes black media. Can't believe this. The U.S. Justice Department reached an agreement with the four major tobacco companies that requires them to spend more than $30 million in advertising with the three major television networks, as well as a full-page ad in 35 white and Hispanic newspapers and purchasing space on their respective websites. Now, interestingly enough, they did not make a single purchase from a black print or broadcast media company. Can you believe this? An industry that exploited the black community with a product that is harmful to their health now publicly looks to further devalue African Americans by completely ignoring the black media. The culprits, we all know them, R.J. Reynolds, Philip Morris, Lorillard, and Atria, were found guilty of the RICO racketeering laws, and U.S. District Judge Gladys Kessler, who selected the media outlets, by the way, she gave this stinging opinion, and I quote, "This case is about an industry, the survivors and profits from selling a highly addictive product which causes life-threatening diseases that lead to a staggering number of deaths per year." The defendants, of course, have known these facts for at least 50 years or more. The tobacco industry has marketed and sold their lethal products with zeal, with deception, with a single-minded focus on their financial success without regard for the human tragedy or social costs. Well, so much for how much the tobacco industry and the judicial system care about black folks. This very public display of overt racism should be a clear message to black cigarette smokers. The tobacco industry cares nothing about black life. They have gone to great lengths to target the black community over the past 30 years, and there are no consequences. Another opportunity for us to stand up against racism. Again, the ball is in your court. And Brother Lundy, that's what's making news on this Tuesday. My.
Ooh.
Is that a mouthful? Yeah,
that's a mouthful.
That's there, enough brother. To make you go, hmm. More than hmm.
You're
yes.
Right.
Okay. Wow. Yes, sir. What do you want to say? What do you want to share with us right now?
To set the framework, I guess, for this day's panel discussion,
mm-hmm.
We have some wonderful guests, and then I'll let you introduce them as I finish.
Yes, sir.
But just some comments I want to share with the general public. I don't know about you, but I think enough is enough already.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it about time for the black community to wake up and smell the coffee? It seems like every day there's a bizarre murder involving law officers and our black youth. The reason black folks don't know about it is the media does not report it. Considering all of the technological gadgets and gizmos that are right at our fingertips, we black folks are clueless. We just don't get it. We're totally unaware of the fact that we are at war. War is being waged against black African people, and our young black boys are the prime target. We can argue back and forth about who the culprits are, the teachers, school boards, business community, parents. The bottom line is that primary responsibility rests with the parents. You know what? That's us, folks. I'm sorry. We black folks have made every excuse imaginable. We rationalize that if it's not a direct threat to me and mine, I will simply bury my head in the sand and pretend to ignore the outright terrorist acts of violence that is wreaking havoc in the black community. Black folk are in for a rude awakening. We are thrashing around in some very choppy waters. We have one of two choices. We can continue being in denial, or we can forcefully and physically remove the foot of the slave master's offspring from our necks. So what's it going to be? When you consider all of that we are up against, you may want to rethink the seriousness of our situation in this country. Okay, let's look at it. Young brothers have no hope. They're angry as hell. We've drugged them up and dummied them down. They're chronically unemployed. The politicians recently passed a concealed weapons law, which literally gives every crackpot white boy a carte blanche to shoot at a young brother for commanding respect or raising his voice. And guess what? Right here in the state of Ohio, there's a small group of people who are doing everything in their power to have this Stand Your Ground initiative become law. This ain't rocket science, folks. It pains me when I see what's happening to our beautiful young brothers, the total disrespect of white America for our black president, the economic meltdown that wiped out the black middle class. Mix that all together with an angry group of white supremacists who have free access to all of the guns in the world. Well, believe me, it doesn't look good for the home team. I leave you with this to ponder. If you were the majority group, enjoyed all the power, controlled over 90% of the world's wealth, have in your possession an arsenal of weapons of mass destruction more than all of the other nuclear countries combined, have enjoyed generation after generation of white privilege, would you give it all up? And how hard would you fight to keep it? Ain't no rest for the weary.
Well said.
Powerful.
Yes, indeed. Well, I mean, again, Mr. Lundy, you always raise some very good points, and we want to get folks thinking.
Right.
And that's one of our main objectives, is to think out of the box.
Right.
And to think another way, and think with the way we are designed to think for ourselves and do for ourselves. There's an article that's in The Mist that speaks to President Obama's initiative called My Brother's Keeper. I've read it extensively. Mr. Lundy has read it extensively, and our distinguished panel, I'm trusting they have as well, especially my brother Kevin Muhammad. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And I want to introduce Brother Jim White, returning guest. Brother Jim, how you doing?
Yes, fine. Excellent. Excellent. I'm ready.
You ready?
I'm ready. Let's talk.
And Brother Kevin Muhammad, welcome again to Men Speak. So
thank you,
good
my brother.
To see you again.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yes.
Wa alaikum salam, brother.
Brother Jim, I want to start with you. I want to ask your very candid opinion on, once you read this article, it's called Big Talk or Bold Action, What Will Save Our Black Boys? What was your initial reaction to this piece? And after you digested it and marinated on it and all that good stuff, what are your thoughts now? Have they changed?
Yeah, here's my first thought. Number one, I'm looking at President Barack Obama, who has now had an opportunity to step forward. I know a lot of people are saying, what have you been waiting for? Well, there's a lot of political stuff that goes on, but he is here now. So let's not look at what he hasn't done, but let's look at what he has done. And here's my takeaway. Number one is that we need to get out of blame, because whenever I blame, I relinquish my responsibility to fix myself. So I am 100% responsible for my success and my failure, no matter where I go, but I can't do it by myself. The second piece is we are in a capitalistic society. And if you look at capitalism, capitalism says get more, 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 more. So we need to understand that the only way as black people that we're going to be able to achieve the level of success that we want is we have to make it happen. Why would the majority population decide all of a sudden I want to share this front line and all these resources with anyone? And I'm not mad at them. All I'm saying is just don't get in my way, because I am moving. So with that whole piece, what we need to do is understand there's accountability and there's responsibility, and that's the norm. But what we have to do now is to take ownership for ourselves. And one of the things that President Barack Obama said, he said every boy, every young African-American boy, whether they are in your home, next door neighbor, down the street, is your son. So we must critically engage anything, anyone, any effort that gets in the way of stopping them from being able to move forward. If that's education, we need to address education. If that's jobs, we need to address jobs. So that to me is kind of like the nutshell. And he laid out a number of ways in which he wants to go about doing that. But if you say the essence of what I got from the article and where he is right now, 100% responsibility for ourselves and our success, and understand you are in a capitalistic society, and stop blaming, because it will do nothing.
Okay. Thank you. Brother Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I know you got some serious thoughts on this one.
Yes, I do. I agree.
What was your reaction? What was your initial reaction?
Reaction is that, you know, Ms. Louis Farrakhan gave the president a way for saying something finally to address us as African-American men and young men. Me personally, I'm going to say, like I said back in 2000, it's a trick. It's a situation to try to it's a political movement. I don't really trust it by just me examining about the money. You only got getting $350 million through between 50 states. And that comes out to be about for 5 years. So that's not a lot of money. But I think it's a political move that the president was forced to do because of the situation. It's because, you know, there was people who have not addressed. He's not addressed our issues since he's been in office. And the third of all is that here we go again. We're looking at who's going to be on the panel of advice. And we have a problem with those of us in the Nation of Islam that we're not invited again. No progressive organization is not invited. We have a great track record working with African-American men. I'm a product myself. And then you got Mayor Rahm Emanuel of Chicago who's on here. And we do know for a fact that just last year that Mayor Emanuel, along with one of the Chicago politicians, have petitioned Congress for more money to lock African-American men up in Chicago, the gangster disciples. So it's a conflict, you know. And then, you know, we have other people over here that we have, you know, this is Glenn Hutchison of the Silver Lake Partners, Adam Silver of the NBA Association. And so we just want to make sure that the money, you know, been in politics formally, you just see when money is coming out, everybody's running to the table. Everybody's running to the table. Yeah. And it seems like this is money is going to make sure that people have jobs at the elite top. But it is not going to go down to our brothers who need it in the streets. And that's the issue. And the number two is finally, I'm going to say again, if you're not calling Minister Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam to the table, we, by the grace of Allah, have some answers, and you're doing yourself a disservice. So I say it's not going to work unless we're at the table, sir.
Thank you.
Ooh.
Wow. I knew this brother was ready for this one. I knew this brother was
good. We want the conversation, and we want to listen to the audience to
definitely
take a bite on it. I guess my spill on it is when I first read the article, I just read with a very critical eye, and I didn't digest it well. So I said, I'll put it down and I'll go back and read it again. Mm-hmm. And then I went back and I read it again. And I guess while I think that, the timing is suspect in terms of, you know, at this point in Obama's year.
In his office,
In his office, I think that's something that we have to deal with realistically. I mean, you know, it's like he's a lame duck president. And, you know, he's taking a beating in his popularity. The Caucasians just outright, flat out disrespect him. Uh-huh. You know, so, you know, this, you know, I think that there's some good in everything that happens. You know, I understand he's in the catbird seat.
Yeah.
And so he has to do certain things, you know. And so this, you know, we put this out there and we have to take lemons and make lemonade.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And so from that standpoint, you know, this is something that for me personally, you know, I find very ironic, because it was about 18 years ago when Minister Farrakhan took two million men to Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. to atone and talk about employment and talk about plans for what we did. And then we came back, you know, us black men came back and, you know, made these promises of what we was going to do. And all of us sitting around this table was talking about fathers and sons. And 20 years later, that's where the credit of the problem is. Fathers and sons. So, to me, I'm happy, you know, that we're at this place. I just think that we have to be objective and analytical about, you know, what the motives behind it and who's going to get the money. Because, when the money, again, if you talk about, you know, when you really put the dollars out there, $350 million, and none of that is solid. That's kind of like iffy.
Right.
Okay, and you're going to divide it over a five-year period with 50 states.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you're talking some jobs. Some people are going to be working and doing some jobs. So you're not really doing anything at the problem. But the protests, or not the protests, but the opponents of what Obama was doing were some very creditable people. This one guy, Dr. Boyce
Watkins,
you know, he made some very salient points, you know, that I think that we have to pay attention to also. You know, are these going to be the youngsters that are already going to Harvard? You know, who decides, you know, how will, you know, the money be divided up? I mean, you know, it's a whole bunch of stuff. So to me, that's one side of it. Out of the other side of the president's mouth, out of the other side of his mouth, there were two passages in that article.
Yes, sir.
One alluded to the criminal justice system being non-existent. I mean, I didn't misread it, guys. I read it several times. And the other one was, we're not going to tackle institutional racism.
Right there.
Mm-hmm. So he says, I want to quote it. It says, while the initiative will call for more responsibility from black young men and aim to offer pathways, what are the pathways? There will be no tackling of the problem of institutional racism and white privilege that overrides black suffering. Well, to me, that sounds like a contradiction to me.
Yes.
If you're not going to deal with institutional race, that's what the problem is. You know, when we had affirmative action back in the 70s or whatever, when we went back in the 60s, when we did the integration, we kept going for the okey-doke. We didn't know by now, we're talking economics.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? So if you're not talking about helping these brothers economically, and that means on trying to get them a job in what kind of job environment? And what kind of job market is this? And what are you going to do to help black males get jobs? I mean, you know, what are you going to do with that technology divide?
Right.
You know, come on, man. You know, so I just think that, you know, we have to just look at things with a suspect eye to try to take advantage of, you know, whatever comes out of it and be aware. you know, that they, you know, they throwing some fish out there.
Okay. You know, my take on that one is that.
I got a question for you, too, but go ahead.
Well, why would we think that it's going to be anything other than what it has been in the past? And so, therefore, my take is this. You know, and he laid out a number of initiatives that he's going to deal with. Mm-hmm. I know the Nation of Islam has always been able to pull African-American males up and move, put them on the straight and narrow. I saw that myself.
Right.
And when I was 14 years old, believe me, y'all, that was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago. And they've always done that. So I think that's one path that we need to stay on.
Uh-huh.
The other thing is, we also need to say, what path do we need to, as individuals, from an individual and a collective, what do we need to do as individuals? I no longer want to wait for any one person to wait until we are all galvanized and moving in one direction. That's not happening. Washington, D.C. doesn't happen mm-hmm. the way. The world doesn't have the way. So we have to have a multi-pronged approach, then that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
You do something in your area, you do something with the Nation of Islam, someone else. And I don't even want to waste time looking at and thinking, what are they going to do?
Mm-hmm.
I want to put the plan together. I want to go for the money. If they can't give us the money, then we find the money somewhere else. As you open up the program, why would they want to give us money? So therefore, we have to start to make those things happen on our own. And I'm not saying I'm going to turn down the money. I know it's $300 million and supposed to be another $150 million. He's not getting that from the government. He supposedly has commitment from the private sector to pull those dollars through. I don't know. I haven't read enough to know exactly where those dollars are coming from. But in the meantime, if someone walked up to you today and said, I'm going to give you $1 million if you have a program. Guess what we don't have? We don't have a plan. We don't have a plan. Failure to plan is planning to fail. So we need to put those plans together as if everything is going to be there. And then from that point on, if the money comes, grab it. If it doesn't, find it.
Mm-hmm.
And stop waiting for other folks to do it.
Okay. Speaking of plan, I want to kind of add something to that. In this article, it said that it's going to take 90 days for them to come up with this so-called plan. But my question is, if you've already met, if you already had this discussion, what's the 90 days for? And why 90 days?
Well, what he said was this. He said that there are some plans that are already out there and that are working. He said, we want to grab the plans that are working now and use those. The plans that have not worked for African American males to use them. I have a plan right now. I could do it tomorrow. I have a number of other brothers who I work with Visionary Leaders Institute.
Ready to go.
Our whole thing is we want to get the message there. I think that there are more than enough plans out there. I know the Nation of Islam has a plan. So what we need to do is say, hey, here's the plan. Here's the plan. Let's roll. And I'm talking about tomorrow morning I could start rolling pieces out. And I know you guys could do it because you folks have been doing it for years.
Before you say what you're going to say,
yes,
you
sir.
Are listening to Men Speak on Talk Timber Radio, the world's greatest radio. The phone lines are open, 1-877-932-9766. We want to hear from you as well. Kevin, what do you want to say?
Well, I want to you know, add to what Mr. White is saying. We do know this is who is the funders are coming to, the Ann Case Foundation, the Atlantic Philanthropist, Bloomberg Foundation, Michael Bloomberg again.
So you've got the organizations.
You're right. The California Endowment, the Ford Foundation, the John and James Knight Foundation, the Open Society Foundation, the Robert Wood Foundation, the Kellogg Foundation. We're kind of familiar with these foundations before.
You are.
And Minister Ms. Farrakhan said, and then Mr. White is saying the same thing, so is Dad here, is that we cannot ask other people to fund our revolution.
No.
We have to do this ourselves. And I'm telling you again that all these foundations are saying one voice that you cannot have the Nation of Islam be involved with any type of this money. I'm saying right here, if March 18, 2014, the plan will fail. It reminds me back in 2000 of the Faith Initiative plan that Bush did.
Uh-huh.
It's the same thing. And when you put parameters in our black community, who can't come and who can come, it's going to fail. You heard it here first.
You're certain?
I'm certain.
Wow. My goodness. Brother Lundy.
What you gonna do, Brother Lundy?
Hey,
give us up.
Like I said, this is one of the most challenging discussions that I've been a part of because it brings up so much stuff.
Yeah.
It brings up so much stuff. You know, like I've talked with Jim many a times, and I hear Jim, and I understand what he's saying, and I agree with much of what he's saying, and I hear Brother Kevin. And I guess what my thoughts are is like, for the listening audience, you know, again, we have a radio show. We talk about Men Speak, and part of our objective is to get other people to think. And so, to me, you have to raise those other kinds of issues, you know. And so when I look at when I read the article and I looked at some of the things that I thought about was, you know, the LBJ's war on poverty and Bush's the faith-based initiative, and this is and Clinton had some program, and this is Obama's, you know. And so, but to me, it begs the point of we have a serious problem. We have a serious problem in the community, and we're getting it from every angle. And I, like Jim, are saying, you know, when do we, you know, start to moving on it, you know, start doing something about it. At the same time, we have to stop thinking about somebody else funding.
Exactly. You listen to Men Speak on TalkTimberRadio.com. I'm Kamari Ondaye, and my co-host, Brother Richard Lundy. Make sure you check us out on WCRS FM 98.3. Wednesday and Sunday evenings, blogs and podcasts are available. We go where you go. Download TalkTimberRadio.com, app to your cell phone or tablet. Radio the way it should be heard. Stay right there. Want to hear from you? Our phone calls, our phone lines are open. 1-877-932-9766. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us. You can hear their voices.
They got poison on their mind. Hey, wake up. You can't dream your way into college. There are actual steps you need to take, steps that go beyond just getting good grades. So if you're serious about college, visit knowhowtogo.org today. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
TalkTainmentRadio.com is the premier internet radio platform offering 40-plus talk radio-style programs professionally produced, optimized for online distribution, featuring Columbus, Ohio on-air personalities. TalkTainmentRadio.com offers listeners diverse programming options covering topics such as arts and culture, love, life and relationships, technology, religion, paranormal activities, local and national politics, women's issues, alongside health and wellness. Listeners can access their favorite TalkTainmentRadio.com programs